to give to TJ.
He hit the line of scrimmage. He broke free. Inside the 20-yard line. Inside the 10-yard line. TJ Yeldon reaching for the goal line. Touchdown, Jacksonville. TJ Yeldon, second and third effort for the score. Play clock is at 5 now for Manuel. Dropping. The Jags blitz. And they hit him as he lets it go. The ball is out. That ball is out. It is picked up. Or now Chris Clemons picks it up. Chris Clemons into the end zone. That's a touchdown for Jacksonville. Scoop and score by Clem. And the Jags are in the end zone again. Manuel 4 of 10 so far on the day for 50 yards. He and the Bills will start from their own 20-yard line. 14-3 Jacksonville. 12-21 to play in the half. TJ looks. Fires it to the right. That's picked off. Kelvin Smith has picked it off. Tillman running it back. That's a touchdown for the Jaguars on back-to-back defensive play. Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now. Stays behind the line. Fires toward the end zone. Once Allen Hurns diving attempt. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Hurns a diving touchdown catch.
Awesome, awesome environment. And to our fans back in Jacksonville, too. I mean, I know they were watching and listening, so we appreciate them. And this was an unbelievable environment. To see it at the end, I don't know if I caught all of it, but I could hear them. Just a great environment.
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today on the air here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith. All right, you got the cat that ate the canary grin just, going on over there.
It felt like Tyler was trolling us all again. I don't even know if he knew that Gus Bradley cut was at the end of that little highlight package. But after the comments, after all the booing for Gus Bradley coming out yesterday, and then the booing for the offense throughout the first half and going into halftime, and then the comments of Telvin Smith after the football game,
yes,
it just feels like a really on-the-nose time to play that kind of cut.
I assumed he was going for it's London week, and look what happened.
Probably.
The last trip
Not saying I thought he knew that cut was at the end of it.
Oh, no, I knew.
It was.
I'm going through this thought process as I'm listening to this, Tony, and I'm thinking, is this too crazy of an idea to happen? As I'm watching yesterday the Colts get off life support late in their game against San Diego and win on a long touchdown from Luck to T.Y. Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
You almost had 0-3 Jacksonville hosting 0-3 Indianapolis in London. Is there any chance that London and or maybe the country of England is going to consider building their own wall to keep certain visitors out? Is that possible?
No,
we've seen enough. We don't want you back. Probably not going
to
happen.
See. They don't have to worry about it since Indianapolis did find a way to win
a game.
They
did, right. So at least the two teams are lugging one victory with them in their baggage over there.
Jacksonville honestly should be coming in with two. I mean, they really should.
Tell me about it.
They should have beat Green Bay, and Baltimore just kept handing the football game to them yesterday.
This was worse. I mean, the Green Bay game, there certainly were opportunities. This just over and over. Defense kept setting them up with opportunities in the fourth quarter. Offense couldn't capitalize. Yesterday was more of the offense than the defense, certainly. Defense has had its issues as well.
You give up 19 points at home, you ought to win.
Yesterday, I'm not saying as an overall effort, you can point to a player or two here or whatever. You're going to have that in the National Football League. But no, that was a failure of the offense. Certainly the coaching staff is ultimately responsible for everything that happens on the field. Here's my issue that I think is the big issue right now. I'm glad to hear Tyler said, hey, the phone lines are loaded up. That means people are fired up, right? They want to get it off their chest. People tweeting, oh my gosh, it's been brutal on the drill all morning long. Good. Because this is what I don't want. I've got this tweet in from Dylan Cade. He's in one of our Jaguars Today fantasy leagues, mm-hmm. as a matter of fact, and certainly a hardcore Jaguar fan. And he starts to tweet out, he sent this yesterday, insert rage about the Jags sucking yet again this year, in quotes, with the eye roll emoji to follow, followed by, whatever, man, I'm numb to it. # this stuff sucks.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Apathy. Numbness. The crowd yesterday, right? And look, I don't blame you. You don't want to show up and have your guts ripped out on Sunday? That's your prerogative, okay? But I'm not blaming. Trust me, I'm not blaming fans. You, and by the way, I am on the side of you have the right to boo anybody you like at a sporting event.
No doubt.
I mean, that's the. We'll get to Telvin Smith's comments about that. I'm sure it's coming out of frustration or whatever the case may be. But big difference between, yeah, you are in the building every day because you're paid millions of dollars collectively, the whole lot of you, to be here. Win or lose, you're going to make a lot of money. People show up, pay their hard-earned money, which is a much higher percentage of their income than it would be to you to come out and watch year after year after year, and nothing changes for them. So everyone who did show up yesterday, everyone who cheered, booed, or otherwise occupied that stadium with any kind of interest, good for you, all right? And whatever you did, however you expressed it, keep expressing it, because that means you care. And I quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, there's going to be a lot of apathy at this point, Tony. 0-3, five teams, since 1970 have made the postseason after starting 0-3. That ship has sailed.
Yeah, and none in the last decade. And as I tweeted out yesterday, nobody in the last 10 years has made the playoffs after starting 0-3, because it's pretty simple. Bad football teams start 0-3.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just the bottom line reality of it, is that this is a bad football team, again, in 2016, and it wasn't supposed to be that way in year four of this, but that's where they're at.
I feel like they're a team that could be good.
Yeah,
but they're not.
Blowing two games at home.
Because, again, this is not college football. We don't vote on how we feel about your performance or what we think would happen if you played again on a neutral field. This is the pros, where your record is the bottom line, period.
No doubt. And look, talking about Telvin and his comments, you're never going to win, as I heard Dan Hicken say this morning on the drill. You're not going to win going against the fans that kind of way. Football players, and really athletes in general, they build these walls, right? And we hear it all the time. Like, Von Miller in Denver won the Super Bowl last year. And after he wins the Super Bowl, those guys are standing on a podium saying, nobody believed in us. Are you kidding me? Everybody, like, even at the Super Bowl, by the time they got to where they were actually in the Super Bowl, we're asking people on Radio Row, going up against one of the most prolific offenses in the league in Carolina, and everyone, we got 60-40 Carolina probably, but that means 4 out of 10 people thought you were going to win
right. That
game.
Right.
3/4 of the way through the season, everyone said, if they get home field advantage, that defense is going to be near impossible to beat in that stadium. There were plenty of people that believed in you, but athletes build these walls. Right. And it's a weird thing. I don't understand it, because I haven't been a part of that culture in that kind of way. But they do that kind of thing. And yesterday, Telvin's comments to me felt like that. It felt like this is one of those things that athletes just do. And for reasons that I don't understand it, I don't think you can express it the way he did. It just comes off the wrong way. You can't fight the fans like that.
I think they do it. And let's play the cut so people know what we're talking about, and then we'll comment further on it. We don't want to make the whole show about this,
no.
But I did want to address it and let you react to whatever aspect of Jaguar football you want to throughout the next 2 hours. Somebody tweeted at me this morning, is this going to be an old fire gush show? I said, I don't know. It depends on what the people call in want to talk about. We don't tell them what opinion to have on that. No, I mean, so it could it be? Possibly. I don't know what it's going to be. We'll find out in a few minutes here at 641-1010. Here's what Telvin had to say when asked about the fans or reacting to the fans booing yesterday.
If I did, I would be going off on people in the sense of I see these guys every day. I see the work that they put in. I see the time that they're away from their families. So for somebody to come in here on one day out of a week and try and judge somebody for missing a play or making a bad read on something, you know, that really frustrates me on the fans. If you're going to be with us, be with us. I sent out a post today, either you with us or against us. So, you know, I'm telling all the fans, either with us, I'd rather play in an empty stadium with nobody there and then they have, 30,000, 40,000 people that, you know, on the fence, whether they believe in us or not. You know, if you're going to be with us. If not, you know, go root for another team.
Bad, 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 bad. There's no getting around, to me, that's just bad. You know what the proper response is when fans boo you when you're 0-3? You know what? I'd boo me too. We stink. That's the proper response.
I wish we'd stop giving them reasons to boo.
Right. That is the proper response. And you know what? You're not against them. The people that are booing are the ones who care the most. They're
right.
The ones that's bothering the most, because they are with you. They're so with the organization. They so want to win. This thing about, I see these guys are away from their families. Hey, you know who else is away from my family? Me, right now. I'm working. It's called Everyone Has a Job, and that's how you live, okay? We're all away from our families. We all put in time into our careers. Your career is no more important than anybody else's career. Yes, it is more popular than other people's careers. Other people don't pay to come see other people perform their professions, but that's part of the deal. If you're going to sell tickets to say we're worth coming to see, you know, eventually give us a return on that other than all the bells and whistles. The bells and whistles are great. I appreciate the bells and whistles. The stadium, fantastic. Great. The win-loss record, not so much. 641-1010. Let's take a break here and open it up to you. That's the phone number. That's also the text line driven by Duval 4. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. Hopefully we'll find a few minutes later to find out Tyler's tales of woe on the roads this morning. I'm curious. Something needs to cheer me up on this Monday morning. That might do it, Tony, because I'm that kind of guy that takes pleasure in others' misery from time to time. I'll be honest with you. I'm not taking any pleasure in the 0-3 right now because I feel like we're all in this one together. So let's figure it out. Question of the day is out there, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships. Who or what is most responsible for the Jags 0-3 start? The offense, the defense, the coaching, or the penalties? And certainly they have some overlap, but those are the choices you have today. You can elaborate further if you choose to. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, we're live at Everbank in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studio. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Well, you know what? I have not talked to him yet and had conversation. I know, you know, he's showing up. He's making some plays and not as enough plays as he would like and as we would like. And, you know, I think the big thing is that he's got poise and he's got to rely on that poise, you know, in these difficult situations like this. And, you know, we just got to protect and all come together with that.
That's Gus Bradley asked yesterday in the post-game press conference, does he think his quarterback, Blake Bortles, is regressing right now? I don't know if you want to call it a full-on regression, Tony. He's certainly not playing well, okay? Not playing well, and yesterday was the worst example of the three games, I think, with the interceptions. He looks like he looked before he went to Tom House to fix his mechanics.
It looks like his rookie year.
It does.
It really, I mean, it looks like it's rookie year where mechanically it feels like things are wrong. And look, I'm not some quarterback guru.
Right. I'm not breaking down the angle of his arm. I'm just talking about the way the ball comes out of his hand.
Yeah, and it looks like, as a guy who's watched a lot of football, I can tell when a guy isn't setting his feet. Like, I can tell that, and Blake Bortles is not setting his feet and throwing the football. And whether that's a mechanical thing or something that's in his head about this offensive line, whatever the heck it is, and I heard Wig bring it up. I tweeted out about this yesterday. He talked about it on the fifth quarter. I think there is a legitimate question to be asked regarding Blake Bortles, especially with the way they were calling plays in the fourth quarter of that football game, about how much trust this coaching staff has in Blake right now. And he's not playing very well, hasn't really played well through the first 3 weeks. He was kind of okay against Green Bay, but he was bad against San Diego, and he was worse yesterday. When they get those turnovers, teams that have guys like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns and Julius Thomas take a shot at some point, and they had four chances in that ballgame yesterday to take a shot, and every single time they just handed it off to one of their guys and were content to do that. I do question how much trust they have in Blake right now to make a play.
I think that's a fair question, but I also question how much confidence he has in himself. And, you know,
sure,
it's easy to sit here and play armchair psychologist, but when he holds the ball too long, when you repeatedly hear analysts say, hey, look, if that, and I'm talking about former players, right, who should know that, say, hey, look, that play is there if you pull the trigger a second earlier, a half second earlier. And that's the difference. People say, well, that's so fast, it's barely any time. That's the life of a pro quarterback. You're getting rid of the ball in 3 seconds. I mean, everything happens so quickly. And if you're just playing and you're feeling it and you're confident, you just let it rip. And I just don't think he's letting it rip. I think the turnovers are in his head. This is my personal observation. It's nothing he's told me or any coaching member of the coaching staff has said about him. This is based on just observation of watching him. And I think that's been one of the big issues. And I do, yeah, certainly, Tony, is the drive that ultimately Myers has the field goal blocked on. They get the turnover. They got the ball there right about the 30-yard line, right? I said, watch. was going to run it right into the middle of the line of scrimmage because they think this is the football play to do. Let's run some clock, despite the fact that they've been running into a brick wall with the running game all day. And what do? Two consecutive plays. You get in third and long. You can pin your ears back then, and then Blake takes a sack, and now it's a 54-yard attempt or whatever it is, and it gets blocked.
At least that one I understood because you could possibly run some clock, and there was at least a reason. Like, the football rule book maybe says run the ball there. That one, I was like, of course that's what they're going to do. That's what they've been doing anyway. It's when they recover the fumble after the punt, right? When Denard recovers that fumble, they're on the Baltimore 39-yard line. Next play, Chris Ivory right in for 1 yard. Right, this is after a change of possession play. This is in their territory. You have an opportunity to take a shot, potentially. They don't do it. After they get an interception in Joe Flacco, first and 10 on the Baltimore 31. Chris Ivory up the middle
for minus
2 yards. What the heck is that? Then they get another interception, right, after they flip-flop interceptions there. They get another one, and then Chris Ivory up the middle for no gain.
Gus was asked about going taking a shot downfield in those final series, and this is what he had to say.
Any thoughts of taking a shot at the end zone on either of those series?
On the 4-minute drives? We weren't really thinking about that. We were thinking about getting a first down.
Matt, get it. If you get a first down, you know, if you're up by a point, you get a first down, you're in what should be chip shot field goal range for a guy with Meyer's leg. I'm not saying anything's automatic with him, but that's, you know, you're not thinking, hopefully as a coaching staff, oh, he's going to miss this next one. You get what I'm saying.
No.
And you think, you know, Baltimore scored one touchdown all day. I really think if they had been able to get a 4-point lead, they would have won the football game. I really
do. Too.
I don't think the defense would have allowed a touchdown. I can't know that. Now, they certainly, you know, drove it down into makeable field goal range and still had over a minute left. So who knows how it would have
They could have had
out.
A 15-point lead.
I get it. But once you're in that circumstance in the late game, I can get what they think they should be doing. But when something hasn't worked all day, and I gotta feel like the other team knows it's coming at this point in time, why you expect it to work right at that point is just beyond.
They rushed 18 times for the running backs 18 times for 31 yards.
Right.
31. Yeah. Right. 18.
And
for
that's
31.
You take out T.J. Yeldon had a 9-yard run. You take that out, and what'd they do? Really nothing.
Nothing.
Right? I mean, even if you include, you don't take it out because he earned that, whatever, but that's one play. Let's go to the phone lines for the first time today, find out what's on your mind. 641-1010, the number, as you know, it's Jaguars today on this Monday morning. CJ is out at the beach, is going to get us rolling this morning. Good morning, CJ.
Yeah, good morning. Kind of along the lines what you guys were just talking about, I agree, except for the last series after Buzzin got the interception. I think they should have just ran it every time right there. I mean, I think that's when it started snowballing. Once they were still trying to throw the ball at that point of the game, especially after what had been happening, that's when it kind of snowballed. And that situational football coaching that Gus is not good at, it started going. And then once Baltimore got the ball, when they didn't have any timeouts, after that first down, we let the clock run all the way down. You should have called your timeouts on first down and second down. That way, third down, Baltimore's got to decide, okay, am I going to throw this ball? Am I going to run it? And if they run it, you know, they got to hurry up and trot the field goal kicker out, not call a timeout on third down, and then he gets to chill and line up and do all that stuff to make sure he makes the field goal. I'll take your comments off the air, man.
I don't have any problem with the way they employed their timeouts because ultimately they got the ball back with over a minute left, needing only a field goal to win the game.
And a timeout,
right. And that's what they were going for. They were trying to have a timeout on their own because you never know when you need to complete a ball down the middle of the field and, you know, it takes a certain amount of time to run out there. Somebody called in the post game about clock management down the stretch and said, why are we even calling timeouts? Well, obviously you're trying to save time so Baltimore can't work it down to no time left. You can debate, do you call it after the first one or not, but they left themselves plenty of time to move the ball, in NFL time. There was plenty of time to move the ball with one timeout in the field goal range if they could execute an offense. And they couldn't execute an offense. No. I don't think it would have mattered if they had 5 minutes left at the end there. They couldn't move the ball. And that last sack that Blake took is so unfathomable. I don't even know where to begin. You look like, oh, no, he's going to take a sack. Wait a minute. Houdini escapes, and now he's outside the pocket. And he's not going to let that guy chase him down from behind. He's going to throw it, and he never throws it. And
nope.
you lose the yardage, you lose all the extra seconds that tick off the clock, and then you lose your final timeout. And that was game, ball game. Right there.
No, that was the ball game. And on the series before for the Jacksonville Jaguars, Blake Bortles had a 3rd and 6 at the Baltimore 25 and took a sack.
Right.
I mean, took a sack that forced them into a much longer field goal attempt that eventually got blocked and may have cost them an opportunity to get a 4-point lead. It was, look, and I heard Baselli this morning on the drill, the offensive line yesterday, to use a Ryan O'Halloran term, was pathetic. I mean, it was pathetic yesterday, and I've watched some of the clips online today of what happened in that game. Look, they're averaging 2 yards a run yesterday. They got nothing done. Blake was kind of running for his life for most of the afternoon. When Baltimore's not even blitzing, and Blake is having to run for his life throughout most of the afternoon. I thought Blake was bad yesterday. I thought the offensive line was bad yesterday, and because of that, there's no running game yesterday. So there's no balance in a game where they desperately wanted it and kept trying to force some balance into the game instead of just letting their playmakers go make plays.
I agree with you. It's what you talked about all last week. Sometimes just go 5 wide and say,
you know,
these, right, because you certainly were not running the ball to great effect. You can argue, hey, look, you got a shaky quarterback. You're talking about how shaky the quarterback is. So maybe it was, you know, it was one of those rock and a hard place type situations, but I said it before they started running into the middle of the line of scrimmage that it's not going to get it done. You got to throw away the football 101 playbook because your running game is going nowhere today. Here's Gus, by the way, on the sack we're talking about that Blake took on the final series.
That's situational football, you know, and there's things like that that happen through the game that you got to understand what situation you're in. And, you know, he knows that. He knows in that situation we don't want to take a sack. And we thought that, you know, that at that time on 3rd down, let's get a 1st down. And we ran routes past the sticks to try to get a 1st down. And, you know, it just didn't work in our favor.
Look, I think he does know that. He even said himself afterwards it was a bad play. I don't think Blake's running away from the responsibility of this. Every answer that he gives starts with himself. Now, ultimately, that's great that he recognizes it. You got to play better, but he's not trying to shirk off any of the blame here, right? Like people, he was asked yesterday about the running game. He goes, "Hey, first of all, it starts with me. I got to make sure we're in the right play, right? It doesn't start with you. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Even if you're in the right or wrong play, no one's blocking anybody up front.
But he protects his guys,
and that's what I'm saying. He's taking it on himself. He's still doing the right things. I think he knows, like Gus said, that you can't take a sack in that situation. Is that coaching, Tony, or is that a player who you don't think Greg Olsen's told him? You don't think every offense coordinator in history tells your quarterback you can't take a sack in that situation,
right?
And then when they go out and do that, are you blaming it on the coaching or are you blaming it on the player? I don't know. I mean, there's probably some responsibility to be shared there, but I put more of that on Blake in this particular instance.
Me too.
Let's go back to the phones. JB in St. Augustine up next. Good morning, JB. How are you?
WTM, Tony, Tyler, Mike. Man, I honestly believe it's the coaching staff. It's the 3rd year we've started 0-3. I honestly believe that the coaching staff do not believe in the players, which is discouraging them, which is causing them not to play to their full potential. Now, check this out. In 2014, Oakland went to London 0-3. Their coach was out of there. 2015, Miami went to London 0-3. Their coach was out of there. Jaguars is 0-3. If we lose next week, Gus Bradley has to be gone, and I take it off the air.
All right, thanks. I mean, I can't say what Shad Khan will do, but anyone who says that is not a realistic possibility, you know, unless they know Shad Khan feels adamant about giving Gus 16 games this year, I mean, I don't see how you couldn't think that's a possibility.
No.
I mean, you know, the bye week is the natural time to make a move like that, and people can talk about, hey, it's early in the season, you know, it's only 4 games, la, la, la. You know, somebody tweeted this morning, guy named Phil, what will it take for someone at 10-10 to admit the head coach is a problem and should be fired? And as Duval Doom replied, you know, Mike and Tony said that after last season. I mean, I'm not trying to pat us on the back, but it's like,
no,
we're not. Here's the thing. Tony and I didn't think that 12 wins was enough to get a 4th year, in our estimation, if we own the team. But once Gus is brought back, hey, man, I'm on board. Let's stay. This is the situation.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I'm not going to sit here and try to say root for them to lose to make my opinion look better. No matter what you think of me, that's not the case. I'm all in on this team having success, and I would like nothing more to see the miracle of miracles go to London, save your job, have a dominant performance, get on a roll coming out of the bye. Mathematically, it's still possible. Do I believe in my heart? Somebody tweeted in this morning, Tony. So do you think the Jags can still go 8-8 or 9-7? I said, can? Yes. Will? No. I don't. I think they can. I absolutely think they can. But I think it's incredibly unlikely that they're even going to get to 500 this year.
It's all on belief. Right now, I mean, if you think this team is still going to go 8-8, you think they're going to go 8-5 over the last 13 games, it's all on belief. It's based on nothing that you've actually seen this football team do.
Facts not in evidence.
In 2016 or before that. And honestly, I think for the whole, you know, is Gus going to lose his job if they lose the game in London? And for the people who say, well, what does it help to fire the coach in midseason? Look, I don't know what it helps, and we'll see what the team's going to do when they actually go and play this game in London. I also understand the side of it where it feels like it's broken. And I'm not sure that you're doing anybody a favor if it's broke and you're convinced it's broke by continuing to try to sprint on your broken leg for the next 12 games. I don't see how that helps anybody either. I'm not saying that firing Gus is going to be the thing that, bam, they turn it around right after they do that. But if you know this isn't working, then trying something else is not a bad idea, and it's probably the right idea at that point in time.
All right, we'll come back, take more of your calls, 641-1010, and it's also the text line, of course, driven by Duval Ford. Hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook, with the Jaguars Today page. The poll question is out there today, and that's what it is. Which aspect of the team, who or what is most responsible for the 0-3 start? Coaching, offense, penalties, defense, they're all out there, and yes, there's some overlap. I've repeated myself enough on that. Vote for the one that you think most aligns with the way you feel about it, and you can reply directly with further commentary if you choose to. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, I don't really care. I mean, there's a lot of things you could say about that. If I went into somebody else's work and paid money to watch them work and they did a bad job, I'd probably boo them too. So, I don't know.
I know, you know, that's an acceptable answer, certainly. That's what you got to do. And I would expect more, I guess, from the quarterback. Blake's pretty savvy when it comes to that, you know, taking blame on himself. Again, I'm not trying to make a federal case against Telvin, but it does go to show you the difference between a player's mentality and the fans' mentality.
No doubt.
You know, hey, you're not with us. Well, the fans are like, well, are you with us? As Duval Doom tweeted out, he goes, I see a lot of ink on a lot of players out there, you know, a lot of tattoos these days. Never seen one of these. And then he tweets a picture of the tattoo of the Jaguar head that he's got on his leg.
Yeah, the logo.
Right.
And maybe for the first time ever, Duval Doom has turned off the show. It's that bad, guys.
Did he? Yeah. Can I really say what I mean about or what I feel about him?
Yeah,
now?
I told him we'd talk at him again tomorrow.
Is that right? Hey, Doom, call me right now. We'll have you in for guest hosting duties on Wednesday. See if he's really got it turned off right now. All right, 641-1010. We're going to get back to the phone lines. Let's go to Theo in Arlington next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, gentlemen. I wish it was a happy Monday, but instead it's a sad and disappointing Monday. I will put this loss on Bortles because of the interceptions, and the play that frustrated me the most was the sack. Come on, man. You're in your third year. You got to know when you are trailing, and if you see a blitzing linebacker or a lineman, I better get away from him. I need to throw it out of bounds. But no, I want to be trying to be the hero, and I'm going to stand there, and I'm yelling at the TV, throw it, dude, throw it. But instead, he takes the sack. And number two, I want to respond to Telvin Smith's comments, dude. You need to be thankful that these people pay their hard-earned money to come see you play because nobody has to show up, man. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself, dude. You might want to look into the history of the team. We're not happy about 12-39, man. We have the right to boo. We have the right to criticize the coaches if they're not doing their job, man. So you better do your research, man, and I'll take it off the air.
All right, Theo. My only critique of that would be, you know, I truly don't think Blake is sitting there going, "Hey, man, if I make this play, I'll be the hero and it'll be all glory to me." I think he's trying to make the play because he wants to win. And in that moment, I don't think he's going out there. You know, is he making mistakes? Absolutely. And do I put a lot of the blame for yesterday's loss on him? Absolutely. But I don't think, Tony, it's coming from a misguided sense of trying to glorify himself, or you know what I mean?
No, like, I think
he's trying to make the play.
That's
and
who he is.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's who he is. And we saw it from the first time he stepped on the field against Indianapolis, his rookie year, where he was dead. He was just dead, and he spins out of it, and he gets out of the pocket, and he extends that play and hits the fullback going up the sideline, and you're like, wow. You know, you just haven't seen that kind of play. And I think that's in his DNA to try to make that play and trying to, whether it's coach it into him that there are times when you need to and there are times when everything has gone bad enough on a play that you just need to spike it and get on to the next one. And that was one of those. And everyone knew it watching the play that if you got out of the pocket and there was someone right there, then get it out of your hand then.
Right.
And if you can get it out of your hand then, that's a fantastic play by Blake Bortles. You don't try to make the second wave of defenders miss you too.
You know, I'll be a hypocrite because forget the guy coming up behind him. If he's able to somehow to not have it right away, and at the last second he lets it go and he completes it 30 yards down the field, we're all saying, man, this guy's got guts, right?
No
so
doubt.
I get it. So a lot of your critique is going to be dependent on the final outcome. Is that fair or not? That's life. All right, that is just the way it goes. So I don't think it's, you know, I don't think he's doing it because he's saying, hey, look at me be Captain America out here. I think he's just saying, hey, I want to win. I feel like I've let my team down. Let me make a play. I've got this ability to extend the play. But you've got to have a better sense of the time that's taken away and the guy that's chasing you. If you can't feel it, you got to know too much time has passed. Even if I don't feel this guy, I got to realize he's behind me. Or in that case, where he was, he could have took off and probably run for 10 or 15 yards and got out of bounds, Tony. So anything would have been better than the result you ended up with. Theo, thank you for the call. Let's go to Brian on the north side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Brian. All right, let's try John on the north side. How about that? I don't know what that
is. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, John. What's up?
Hey, man. Yesterday it is what it is this year. And the two people I hold squarely responsible for this year is the coach and the quarterback. They get all the credit when you win, and they definitely need to take the blame when you lose. When you have the ball in the fourth quarter and you up by 1 point and you can't get at least 3 points, that wins the games for you there. And enough of this baby and Gus stuff. It's time. When they come back from London, and pretty sure they're going to win or lose to the Colts in London, let's get it a win done with. You can't fire 53 players, but you can fire one coach. They already got another coach on the staff. It's Doug Marrone.
Okay, let me ask you, and let me just ask your opinion. Does that what if they go to London and win the game, John?
If they go to London and win the game, then Shaq Carter has to do this and say, what's the outcome of the game? They're going to let him win 10-3. It makes no difference to me. Gus still needs to go.
Okay. Thank you for that's your opinion, and we appreciate it. We're not trying to censor you on that. So thank you for the call this morning. I think we've got IBM up next, the International Black Man, as he is self-titled. International Black Man 2, actually. who was the show on our old station, Tony, at night? JT the Brick, right?
The Brick, yeah.
Used to have International Black Man call in, and IBM has kind of adopted the moniker many years ago. What's up, IBM? How are you?
I'm not doing so good. I blame Blake. I blame the coaches. I blame Blake for not calling his number enough after we reached the 30-yard line. Every game, I'm screaming at Blake, run the ball, run the ball. He could have ran the ball, fell down in the middle of the field, kicked the field goal at least twice yesterday. He don't call this number enough. That's one thing I think. And I think it's bad coaching, too, because with all the players that we supposed to got, now they say the team is built, and we still playing like we the last-place team in the division. Man, something wrong. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying fire Gus and everything. If I want to fire somebody, I want to fire the general manager because he come from Atlanta which they gave them the moniker of being soft. And now what you doing, putting a bunch of soft players together, expecting coach to coach them up and be real men? They don't want to hit nobody in the mouth. They got to go out there and hit somebody in the mouth.
All right, IBM, you know, are they a bad football team right now? Yes. Are they not? Are they soft in the sense that they can't push people around up front on with the offensive line? Okay. All right. They I think, you know, that may not be the word I choose to use, but that's an accurate description of their ineffectiveness on the offensive line. I don't consider the 53 guys in that locker room to be soft. Okay, that's my opinion. You can disagree. That's fine. I thought Telvin Smith, despite his comments after the game, I thought Telvin Smith played like his hair was on fire yesterday and generally does every single week. I thought Jalen Ramsey, was looking to knock people out every opportunity he got. I thought Cyprian laid some wood yesterday. I thought Puzzlesny was outstanding yesterday. I don't think everyone is.
A lot of guys on defense played
right.
Well.
I don't think this is, but I think I understand where he's coming from. That's just not the descriptor I would necessarily use. I don't think Dave Caldwell has brought in 53 soft players.
No.
Let's put it that way. Have they been ineffective? Absolutely, and I think that's an easy way to critique a team, particularly in the running game. Have they been soft in the aspect, again, where they haven't physically manhandled defensive lines? Yes, if you want to use that description. I don't think those men are soft men, in my opinion, okay? You know, walk a day in their shoes, they're all tough guys, okay? That's my opinion, but that's neither here nor there. IBM, thank you for the call. 641-1010 is the number. John Osher is going to join us from Jaguars.com. More of your calls, your tweets. We'll get to the text line as well as Driven by Duval Ford. And the poll question of the day is out there, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Which aspect, who or what, is most responsible? People said you should have an option for O-line. You should have an option for just Bortles. Well, there's only so many options you can put in a poll. Offense, defense, coaching, penalties. That's what we've gone with. And we'll get your feedback as we go throughout the course of the next hour plus. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, coming back with this Dayton football and the Honda drive around the NFL. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this will make us all feel better. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Let's go to September 26, 1965. Infamous for what didn't happen that day. Baltimore running back Lenny Moore did not score a touchdown versus Green Bay that day. Why is that significant? It ended his record streak of consecutive games scoring a touchdown, Tony. What do you think that streak stood at when it got snapped?
Consecutive games for the touchdown?
Consecutive games scoring a touchdown.
I'll go 13.
18. Pretty impressive stuff there for Lenny Moore. That happened in 1965, or I guess didn't happen as the case may be. Birthdays for this date. 1 year later in 1966, Craig Ironhead Hayward, one of the best nicknames we've ever heard come down the line, was born in the state in 1966. He would have been 50 years old today, of course, passed away. Complications due to brain cancer back in May of 2006. He died at the age of 39 years old. 1977, the birth of TJ, who's your mama? Hushmanzada. Five straight 900-yard seasons. A couple of those went over 1,000 yards and was a one-time Pro Bowler as the complement to Chad Johnson in that Cincinnati passing game for a number of years. He's 39 years old today. And happy birthday to Jaguar defensive back Peyton Thompson, born in the state in 1990. He turns 26. That's this date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry right here on Gate Parkway. If you just need a tooth that's bothering you, just ripped out, you need some cosmetic work done, you're looking for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office, 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com. Get a complete list of their comprehensive care services, our longtime sponsor of this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson is convinced that the knee injury that he suffered during their win over San Francisco yesterday is not serious. Wilson had to come off the field for one play after the injury, but went right back out onto the playing field. Wilson is expected to undergo an MRI today to determine the extent of that injury, but both he and the team are optimistic that it won't be too serious. Wilson wasn't the only big-time quarterback with an injury concern coming out of Sunday. Carolina's Cam Newton also had to leave the game temporarily because of an ankle injury. He was able to return in the loss, but Cam's ankle was the issue, and reports are coming out of Carolina today that he is expected to be fine. He was sacked 8 times yesterday during the Vikings' upset of the Panthers in Carolina. Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles are now 3-0 and got there in historic fashion yesterday, defeating the in-state rival Pittsburgh Steelers 34-3. The loss is the biggest blowout loss for the Steelers since 1989. That's 27 years ago. Wentz was 23 of 31 for 301 yards and 2 touchdowns. He still has not thrown an interception now through 3 games on the season. Manti Te'o, the San Diego linebacker, has a torn Achilles. He will miss the rest of the 2016 season. Looking around the AFC South, the Texans lost on Thursday night 27-0 versus New England to fall to 2-1 on the year. Tennessee almost pulled off the comeback again against Oakland yesterday after having what would have been a potential game-tying touchdown called back due to penalty in the closing moments against the Raiders. But in the end, they lost 17-10 to fall to 1-2. And Indianapolis came from behind to beat the San Diego Chargers 26-22 to get their first win of the year. The Colts play the Jags in London next week. Week 3 of the NFL season finishes up tonight with the Falcons in New Orleans to take on the Saints on Monday Night Football.
A couple of quick things here. One, Carson Wentz, as impressive as he has been, that Philly defense is unbelievably good right now. And, you know, it's hard to tell early in the season because they play Cleveland, they play Chicago. You're like, how quality is the opponent? Nobody's questioning the quality of Pittsburgh's offense, Le'Veon Bell or no Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo Williams has been tearing up the league for the first couple of weeks. So congrats to Philly, man, getting off to that 3-0 lead. This in from Tyler, passing this along from Field Yates, tweeting this out from ESPN. The NFL's waiver priority claim resets on Tuesday. And it will go now based on the early season records of the teams as opposed to last year's records. And regardless of the outcome of Monday Night Football, the Jags will have the first priority.
We're number one in something. All right.
We are number one. We are number one in terms of senior writers for team websites in the National Football League. I think the gold standard is exhibited by John Osier.
Remember in grade school, Mike, when they told you to put your head down and you're having a bad day?
Usually they'd say, hey, kid, wake up. Get your head off the desk. But, yeah, did they tell you that when you had a bad day in your school? What kind of soft school did you go to?
Well, yeah. Enterprise school. So
we played Thumbs Up, 7-Up like that. Did you ever play that game?
Thumbs Up, 7-Up?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
I did not.
You didn't play Thumbs Up, 7-Up?
I did.
Right, which basically what
we
happened.
Didn't have that at St.
You
Andrews
put your head down, right,
store.
And you put your thumb up. You put your fist out with your thumb up, and they'd come around and push your thumb down, and you had to guess who it was that was pushing your thumb down?
Yeah.
Like that?
It's a really dumb game.
Man, like fourth grade is the only way you can get a girl to touch your hand. You know, so I love Thumbs
maybe
Up,
you.
7-Up, baby. Yeah, it's me. That's what I'm saying. I'm not the senior writer, though. Right, maybe right. I would have been. John, well, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm great, Mike.
Come
I'm
on
just
now.
Great.
You can be all right. It's all right. You know, nobody, look, I get it. Everyone in this building, we try to be respectful of the situation. I mean, no one feels good, man. Nobody.
No.
Let me say this because this is not an issue that's been brought up, but the organization wants to win, man. Gus wants to win. Blake wants to win. They all want to win. I believe that. I think very few guys just don't care and cash a paycheck. In all my years of covering the NFL, I think in their own way, most of them really do care about it. So
and it's tough, and as we've talked about, and you know, nothing's going to sound good, nothing tastes good today, all that, but that's really what is so different and shaking about the 0-3 start. Is in the past the results on the field, I think, sort of meshed with the true expectations around the building about the team. This year really doesn't. I mean, you've been around. The feeling and the optimism going into this season was real. And in the past, they sort of said, we hope if things break right this, but there was no expectations of a 2-1, I mean, of a 0-3 start.
Sure.
I was saying 2-1 because circumstances go right, you know.
Couple of plays, John.
Sure. But that's what the NFL is.
And great, you know what?
It's making those couple of plays.
If they had made
haven't
those plays yesterday, if they had played exactly the same,
sure,
but maybe just made one more play somewhere along the line,
but that's,
I wouldn't be killing them today. Nobody
that's the
would.
World we live in.
Right. It is a bottom line world in the National
League. And I said all week last week that, and I think many people said, not just me, close on Sunday, close against the Ravens was not going to be enough.
No.
Because of the situation that the first two games had put them in. You know, if they had been 2-0 going in, and close against the Ravens still wouldn't have been enough, but you'd be 2-1. So, I mean, the circumstances they were in, they had to have a win. A lot of things, especially on defense, even when you look back at it, I watched the game this morning, as much as I could until my computer fritzed out on me, was pretty good on defense, but who cares?
Right, I agree with it. And you, when you say things like that, I know there's a certain segment of the fan base out there say you're not being critical enough. Look, you have to point out there's good and bad. The bottom line,
they're
0-3. Right, exactly.
0-3 criticizes itself.
Exactly. Right. But so you try to figure out what are the reasons on any given week that they lost. And I think one of the things, despite the fact that defense played pretty well yesterday, there's been some constants that they haven't been able to run the ball at all.
At all.
I think Blake has been shaky this year based on the standard I expected coming off the season he had last year, particularly yesterday.
I think that's a really nice way of putting it.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
But, I mean, the guy's got on pace for 32 picks this year, and I don't think he'll maintain that pace because you'll never be allowed to throw 32 picks. Eventually, you're gonna be asked to take a break from playing. But I think, John, week to week, and there may be some people out there that think it's all coaching, and that's a prerogative, you know, because it all comes from the top, and that I didn't think
0-3, the head coach is always going to get blamed.
Sure,
that's
are.
Where we're at right
but
now.
But I think, and I heard Dan and Jeff talk about this morning, and I've heard others talk about it every week. If you knew, boy, we just can't run the ball, and that's why we're not going to win, and until we fix that, and you'd know what to fix.
Right.
One week it's this, one week it's that. Usually it's multiple things, but I don't feel like going into it, I have a clear sense, like next week, are the Colts going to get pushed around by this defense, or is this defense going to allow 40? I don't know. I don't have a clue.
Well, it looked yesterday like the defense was figuring itself out a little bit. I thought it played the way that it expected to play. It certainly looks like Jalen Ramsey. I get all the Steve Smith stuff, whatever, on that. He's showing things that I haven't seen in a cornerback that I've ever covered.
Oh, the best play made is that tip. I mean, what a fantastic athletic
It was, but
ball.
The impressive stuff is the physicality of the ball. I mean,
we've
all
seen
that, stuff.
Though. Week after week, we've seen this guy looking, and he
all that stuff.
For a corner, he's looking to knock people out.
Right. It's impressive. It shows why he was drafted, all that. I thought the pass rush yesterday was adequate. You know, all that stuff. But
yeah, Malik made a couple huge plays yesterday.
Yeah, and Ngakoue, you know, the last part I got to watch this morning was the last Ravens drive of the first half. And when you lose by two, everything counts.
Well, you had two chances to get off the field on that drive.
At least two.
Yeah.
And then you had the penalty at the end. I mean, all those things you look at and go, if that ball that he knocked out of Flacco's hands bounces the other way and they fall in that fumble, what happens at the end of the game? You know, all that stuff. But
right.
That's, you know, you got to win. 0-3 speaks for itself.
All right, we'll take a time out here. We'll come back. We got phone lines loaded. Stay right there, and we'll take you on here with John Osier, senior writer from Jaguars.com, as we continue to dissect what went wrong and maybe how they can get it right. The only thing that's going to fix it is winning, but how do they get those W's, you know what I mean? It's a different thing every single week, but they're at near desperation point if they're not beyond it already. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osier here with you on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Jaguars Today continues live from EverBank in a moment on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms, everything in between. That includes semi-autos, rifles, shotguns, you name it. Wild West Guns and Gold will meet or beat any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Whether you're a sportsman or woman, or you want a little home defense, whatever the case may be, you can even trade your gold for guns at Wild West Guns and Gold. Guns4Jax.com is the website. That's guns4jax.com. And pop in. You can see them on South Lane Avenue here in Jacksonville. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and John Osier here with you guys. Let's get a few more calls in. John, get your reaction to what the people are saying out there today at 641-1010.
Oh, I think I know.
Do you? I don't know what your reaction is, but I think you probably know what's coming. Let's go to William downtown next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, William.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to say I think this whole 0-3 start has to fall completely on the coaches. I feel like we've had opportunities that they just refused to capitalize on. So yesterday when we were blessed with those two picks right around about the 30-yard line, I don't understand why out of six attempts they didn't at least make one attempt to get it into the end zone and try to put the game away. I know a lot of people are saying that the coaches are losing faith in Blake, and I'm not going to lie, he played terrible. He hasn't been good all season long. But you got to look at the alternative. The alternative to letting Blake air it out is putting the ball in the hands of the running backs who collectively at that point in time of the interceptions had ran for maybe like 40 yards altogether. So, I mean, I think you got to look at it from like a probability standpoint. I think there's a much higher probability of Blake throwing one of his famous ducks to Allen Robinson and A-Rob going up and making a play, and we go up eight and put him away. But instead, you know, they decide to run the game, run the ball, and I think that was a bad call trying to hold on to a one-point lead against a team like Baltimore who has a Super Bowl quarterback, and they've been in these tough situations many times over. And I think that falls completely on the coaching, and I just want to know what you guys think about that.
I would like to say the next time I want to express my opinion, I'm just going to ask William to do it for me. I mean, that was basically what I said for you in different words on the break. We were just having the same conversation, you know. You know the running game's running into a brick wall all day.
18 for 31.
And you know, we all sit here, though, and I'll grant I'm as hypocritical about these things as anybody else, that let's say they do, you get the ball at the 30-yard line, and you throw on first down, and Blake tries to force one in the end zone, and it gets picked off. Guarantee you the reaction is, well, come on, this guy's been shaky all day. You know that's not working.
Right.
Nothing was really working.
Or if you throw three incomplete passes and don't drain the clock, it's terrible clock
management. Maybe we could have asked Baltimore to punt to us there and have Rashad Greene take another crack because that was working. I mean, it was – there really was nothing you could point to that you felt confident in yesterday. And at that point, I agree with William.
220 yards.
Take a shot.
Yeah, you say, sure. Take a shot with one of them. At the same time, as you said, I think during the break, you know, you feel like you're in 4 minute there. You feel like it's your time to go win the game, and you feel like you ought to be able to dictate there, even though you have.
But that's the thing. Did you feel like your offensive line was ready to do what was necessary to get that dictation done?
Yeah, by that point, I think what you said really rings true. I don't know that they had very much in the arsenal that they felt good about.
And I'm not even saying you have to take a shot like a 30-yard touchdown.
No, I know.
Play action because they know it's coming. I know it's coming. We all know it's coming. You're going to hand it to Chris Ivory right here. Just, you know, I mean, just something else. Play action, 7-yard in route from Alan Hearns. I don't know.
I have as much as I would say coaching all season has come under fire and it was everything was awful in San Diego, the whole thing.
Bortles was the culprit yesterday.
Yeah, it's tough.
I understand. Right. But there are other things that come up, and I agree with you. If I'm ranking them, Blake's performance or lack thereof yesterday was the biggest
culprit. At some point, even in all that, whatever the play call, in the fourth quarter when you have no first downs and the only first down was because of the hands to the face, at some point there's got to be one completed beyond the sticks.
Understand. Let's get back to the phones. 641-1010. Craig in St. Augustine is up next. Good morning, Craig.
Hi, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good, thanks. What's up?
So I just kind of wanted to comment on what IBM said earlier about the team playing soft. And I'm telling you guys, I mean, if the players aren't soft, some of those coverages sure were. I mean, I felt pretty confident that every time Baltimore had a 3rd and 5 at least, that they were just going to run a curl route and pick it up every time. I mean, you had House playing at least 10 yards off, seemingly every 3rd and short. I mean, at some point, you've got to have your guys go up there, hit them in the mouth, and make a play. And they were just playing soft coverage the entire time. At least that's what I saw. And, I mean, I'm not sure you can really blame Todd Walsh because, I mean, he's only 1 year removed from being a defensive line coach. So, I mean, I don't know what to do there. I mean, I think it still falls back on to Gus Bradley. And, I mean, at some point, you just need to go up and hit him and make a play. And that's all I had to say, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. There's a difference between playing soft coverage, playing soft, and being soft. And that was
right.
The point I was trying to make earlier.
Sure. And as far as playing soft on 3rd down, Baltimore was 3 of 13
yeah.
on third down yesterday. They were not soft defensively
on third down. There was one particular play when they had about a third and two, and House was playing like 7 yards off the line.
Yeah, there were a few. I forget when it was. Third quarter, there were a couple in a row where I thought sort of the same thing that the caller said, but I didn't get that feel for the entire game.
Well, that's the thing. The bottom line is the bottom line. And look, and we get it. When you say all day long, it's usually not every single play that they're doing this, and it's a little – you know, exaggeration. But that one in particular, I remember with Steve Smith, he was on the right side, and House was way off of me, just like three steps and turned around.
Yeah.
And House was sprinting to get there. And it's like, where do you think he's going to
go? Yeah, there are times that happens on that side of the field. It's probably a little too much.
Let's go to, I believe, Pat at the Beaches is up next. Good morning, Pat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks. What's up?
I appreciate taking a call. Hey, on your last comment about you know, the softness and all that, and I understand it didn't happen the whole game. It just happened in the crunch times. That's when it happened in the crunch times that I saw. I've been there since 95, season ticket holder. And I think Gus is a great guy. I think the offensive coordinator is a great guy. But and losing confidence in Bortles right now, you can't lose confidence in your quarterback. He's going to have bad days, and he had a bad day. He was awful yesterday. His receivers quit on him a couple of times yesterday, too, when he was scrambling around. And he ate the ball, and he can't do that. He really can't do that. He's got to throw it out. So that's on Bortles. But the reason why I really called, what was with Telvin Smith, D. Robinson, Pollard, and one other guy, and Fowler yesterday, giving the Black Panther salute during the anthem?
You'd have to ask them.
That's what they wanted to do.
Right. That was their – I mean, it's not like it just popped up here in Jacksonville. A lot of this going around the National Football League last night. And I would argue that a raised fist is not – you know, I don't even want to go into the political end of it. That's – if you're upset with them, that's your prerogative. It's in my opinion, their prerogative to protest peacefully. And if you don't like it, you don't have to. That's what the beauty of America, right? You can react to that however you like, but I'm not going to try to speak for them as to what is up with that. You know,
I'm not even sure, like, in the aftermath of 0-3 and the way that game went down, did anyone even ask those guys about that yesterday?
I think it was a topic I think Odrick wanted to talk about. I think he talked about it to somebody, but that was about it.
Because I didn't hear anything about it, and I was like, I'm sure someone will be asked about it after the game, but with the way the whole thing played out and 0-3 and all the emotions with Ramsey doing what he did and then Telvin saying what he said kind of gets lost in the mix.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying the topic. I just had other topics.
Right. It's fun. We got 2 hours a day, man. There's too many issues between the white lines for me to worry about for the most part. I mean, and first of all, until I saw that on social media this morning, I don't even know that's going on, you know. Again, I'm in the studio. I don't see what's happening on the sideline right before kickoff unless they show it directly.
Yeah, I saw a couple of tweets on it, and again, not downplaying the issue. I just don't know if it's my issue.
Right. I mean, it's not. I don't feel like. I think I understand why they're doing it, and I think I could articulate why they're doing it, but I'm not going to try to put words in their mouth. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it at some point maybe, you know, when we get beyond the current issues that we have, figuring out how to win a football game, we'll sit down with one or two of those guys and ask them to express their opinion on it. You may not want that, but that's your prerogative as well. You can choose to tune out if that happens. Robert on the north side, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have three things I'd like to say. I'm an avid Jaguar fan, but I never thought, and you know guys like Blake Bortles, and I never thought he was a franchise player. Especially after looking at Philadelphia and the Cowboys and other teams that got their backups out there, look way better than Blake. There's no consistency in this guy. And the second thing I think for sure is the coach, the play calling, the whole coaching staff need to be done. And the third thing is I got an opportunity to talk with Mr. Khan when he first bought the team on the radio. And this guy is a winner. So I know he's going to do whatever it takes to finish and become a winner. Because losing is not an option. And what you're working with right now is not working. I'll take my comments off the air.
All right, thank you, man. I'll say this. It is an option, actually. Because they've gone with that option a lot. I mean, when you say losing's not an option, I understand what you're talking about. Shad's mindset, he's not going to accept losing.
Right.
Right? and you can try to change things. There's no, and I'm not saying you shouldn't, by the way. I'm just saying there's no guarantee you can go get a whole new coaching staff, sure. Which is what he did, by the way. I mean, he took the team over, ripped it down to nothing, started fresh with new GM, new coaching staff, new quarterback. You don't want any of them. He may end up starting hitting the reset button again at some point, but there's no guarantee that that's going to work. You know, when you say losing's not an option, I think I get what you're saying, that to accept losing is not an option. And I don't think he will ultimately do that, but he's tried to show patience and buy into the vision of the guys he hired, John, that laid out a plan that this is how it's going to work. Now, clearly, the plan is not where they expected it to be at this point.
No, not after three games of this season.
No.
And I didn't feel that way until this season. I thought the plan was pretty much where it wanted to be. 0-3 was not what it wanted to be, and
I can't believe, again, this is the nip, and it doesn't really matter at this point. I can't believe their vision was that they would only win five games last year.
No, but I just meant the overall
development of the players things. I gotcha.
But, yeah, I mean, 0-3 was not the plan.
Let's go to Joe on the west side next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, top of the morning, fellas. You know, I, as a fan, I sit and watch the game, and I hear everybody talk about the NFL as a quarterback-driven league, right? So on that note, I'm checking our quarterback. He's not, like you say, everybody calling in and different saying that he's not consistent and he's not getting it done. Now, being that we draft him so early, the part of the game as a fan that I'm trying to get a grip of is, being that we draft them high and we put all this behind them, we can't, we got to play them. Are you getting them? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's like a situation.
Let me ask you, Joe, are you trying to say they're kind of stuck playing him because of where they drafted him?
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that it's like the money that's invested and what we've got into him. Now we're, like you say, we're all in, so we got to ride this ship because we have nothing else. And I'm thinking, like, with the coaches at the beginning, I blame the coach for a lot of things. But did the coach pick the quarterback, and then now we got to deal with this, and this is all the coach have. And then, you know, the coach see him practice every day, and he know, well, this ain't going to be a good situation if we put this ball in his hand. So the play calling is trying to match his game or something. But I feel like he's the one that he's the anchor of the ship we riding, and he's down, and he's keeping us from going forward. The defense, I think, could really pin their ears back if we ever get a lead. But we never get in that situation. We got to play ginger just to try to hold it until the offense gets going. I guess I'll take your comments off there.
All right, Joe. Thank you, man. Go ahead.
It's not a situation where they're looking at their quarterback room and saying, we have to play Blake Bortles because we took him number three overall in the 2004. You know, it's not like that. He's your starter, and you believe he's the guy, and your starting quarterback's your starter until he's not, meaning you don't play around with it. He struggled yesterday, but that doesn't mean you put Chad Henne in at halftime. In the NFL, you start your guy, and then when you don't start him, it's done. So you ride this horse until you're sure it's
the beginning of the end.
Right.
Yeah, right. So, typically, I don't think anybody here in Jacksonville, if you take a sober moment
and we're not there yet,
thinks that Chad Henne is the answer, that he would, if he were playing, that things would be remarkably better. Blake needs to play better. That doesn't mean they have a better option or a better alternative at the moment. And I'm not going to sit here because he is the best alternative and not critique him. He needs to be better.
No, he's been awful.
He knows that.
Last couple of games.
Yeah, exactly. But
in this league, you don't play around and say, okay, we're going to try the second team guy. We're going to give Brandon Allen. That's not what you do.
If you ask me every week the rest of the season, based on the quarterback depth chart the way it is right now, who gives him the best chance to win, it's Blake Bortles, period. Right. That's how I feel. Has he detracted from their chances to win? Absolutely. With all the turnover. Absolutely detracted, but I still think he's a better alternative than what they have right now. A totally untested rookie, and Chad Henne is a career journeyman.
And more importantly than what you think, it's what the other players in that locker room think.
Absolutely, right. So,
I'm not discounting what you think.
Sure. I'm just giving you where I'm coming from.
They believe in the guy.
Right. And look, and there are reasons to believe in him, John. 30, you don't throw 35 touchdowns by accident, I don't think. Right? There are not too many guys that have hit that mark.
Coming into this season, we all knew from watching it that there were things that needed to take a dramatic step up in his game, and that hasn't happened yet, and some things have taken a step back.
All right.
Progressed.
He has. Seemingly, at least, he's played like it, you know, whether it's a momentary slump or an actual regression. Like Tony and I talked about earlier, I'm not going to break down mechanics. I can't tell you is his release. All I know is the ball's coming out of his hand ugly at times, a lot more than it did since his rookie season.
Yes.
Right? All right, 641-1010. We'll take a look, see where the poll is. We made it easy on you today on Twitter, at least. You could vote for the biggest culprit to the 0-3 start being the offense, the defense, coaching, or penalties. And certainly
just playing right into their hands,
they
aren't
all
you?
Have subsets in there. What? I mean, is that not a legit
question? You talk
about
chunking a fastball down the middle.
Is that not a legit question to ask today? I mean, come on, get off my back, John Osher, all right? Senior writer. Is a heavy guy to carry around the studio. Let's take a time out here. 641-1010. We'll come back and get to the fan feedback spotlight on Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, a couple of things let's catch up on before we get out of here today. Let's begin with this quote. This is from Sinderik Marks in an article on ESPN.com. I think there's a D-Rock byline, but I don't want to scroll up because I got the quote right in front of me. I'll tell you for sure in a second.
Definitely.
It is D-Rock. Okay, thank you, Tyler. And when, asked about the, I guess, I don't know what he was asked directly, but I'll read it verbatim. Defensive tackles and Derek Marks didn't think the offense tried to win the game. Quote, "I felt like we got conservative with 6 minutes left in the game," Marks said. "You can't do that. If it comes down to it and it bites you in the butt like it did, then it's basically why you're the blank Jaguars. You can't do that. You have to put teams away. We had plenty of chances, and we didn't do it, and they capitalized the exact same way they did at their home last year." John, I'll ask it to you in this sense. Are we going to start to see a divide, or have we started to see a divide, or a little finger-pointing on one side of the football feeling like they get the job done and the other side is letting them down, or how do you interpret that comment?
Post-game emotion. It certainly sounded like it. Will that continue? Will that be the norm? I don't know.
Yeah.
I kind of doubt it. I don't get the feeling, talking to players in the locker room, that there is a offensive and defensive divide. I didn't get that sense yesterday. But, when you're 0-3, things like that get said.
Is it offense versus defense even out of that, or players versus coaches not putting players in position to win?
Well, again, I didn't hear Sen say it.
Right.
So I don't know what the tone was. Sometimes that makes a difference. That quote sounded more like Sen wishes that the offense had gone after it, which would say coaching. But, again, I wasn't there. And sometimes with quotes, when you read them, they sound different than when you say them.
Sure.
So I don't know.
This one on Twitter from @ScottPS23. Why was there no mention of Bortles leaving the field before the game was over? Was he hurt or pouting? #JaguarsToday. Blake said something to the effect of, "I didn't want to stick around and see him take a knee." We have not talked about this morning.
Right.
That's wrong.
Bad move.
You're the quarterback, okay? Nobody else threw that last interception.
Right.
You threw it. Sit there. When the clock runs out, head to the locker room. Not at all that you forget all the body language during the game.
Right.
People talk about, don't leave your teammates out there when you're the one who threw the game sealing interception.
Yeah.
And head to the locker.
And I don't know what you term it, pouting, whatever. That's out of norm for Blake. He usually handles most situations pretty well. That one is probably one he wants to have back.
I would hope he would want to have that one back after a day of reflection on that, because you can't. You have to set the standard for everybody else to follow.
And again, when I say that, for 3 years for a young guy, as much as what's going on in the field has bothered you sometimes, he has been such a good and beyond his years in how he handles most situations that's unusual.
Agree.
Right.
And I'm not killing him for it.
No,
but you, I'm glad that this.
That's
got
why it
up
struck you
Scott,
as strange,
because there were so many things to talk about.
Right.
That was just another one, and we haven't gotten to it this morning. We're not trying to avoid the issue,
right?
And I hope
to me, what made it unusual is he usually doesn't do that.
Understood. So, but
that's bad.
You can do it right 99 times, and the 100th time doesn't mean you're above reproach if you do it wrong that time.
No, question. That was the wrong thing to do.
Do we want to play Jalen Ramsey's comment here, Tyler, in the locker room talking about Steve Smith? I don't know what precipitated it. Steve Smith got in his face after the game. I haven't heard what he said, but you could see he was obviously yelling, probably running smack at him. Jalen looked like he was kind of rolling his eyes, trying to avoid the situation. Here's what he had to say about Steve Smith after the game.
Come to me, you know what I'm saying, on some disrespectful stuff. You know what I'm saying? The game over with. You still mad because I was locking you up? All right, go sleep on that. I ain't trying to hear that after the game.
So you vowed that he wouldn't get in your head. But you managed to get in his head, do you think?
What you think?
You tell me.
Anytime I lined up on him. Y'all go watch that. Y'all tell me who got in who head. He came up to me after the game. You feel me? Y'all tell me who got in who head. You're an old man acting like that.
A lot of guys try to get in other players' heads.
Oh, Jalen. Man, he's just one of these guys that if they just start winning, Jalen would be so much fun. Like, it feels kind of weird when you're 0-3 to hear a guy saying that kind of stuff. But if they were winning these football games, I mean, that kind of swagger is something this team has not had in years.
And it will serve him well as he moves forward. It's going to get made fun of today because they lost.
Right.
I think it's a blip in the long run, but I would say this, he's probably not the first person to have those feelings about Steve Smith.
Oh, I don't doubt that for a second. There's probably a lot of nasty stuff that gets said, and I don't know what he said, and maybe it was incredibly out of place and disrespectful, but the part that bothers me about it, not even the going back and jawing with Steve Smith or whatever, it's, look at me, I played great. You know, I mean, you know, I locked him down. I did my job. I don't know. You know, that's the sense I'm getting, whether he intends to portray that or not. I did my job. Y'all go check the tape on me. I'm good. You know, like, okay, buddy, it's in the end, you're 0-3. That's what you are. You're 0-3, and you may have played well.
Yeah, I guess the trouble is I don't get the impression that's what he meant, but it's how it sounds.
That's what I'm saying. Right. That is how it sounds. Before we get out of here today, and we appreciate everybody's feedback and what we could and couldn't get to, Tony, quick update on the Twitter poll. We gave him four options. I might have it up in front of me here.
I got it.
Okay, what do you got here today? What question would we get?
Who or what is most to blame for the Jags' 0-3 start? You had four options: offense, defense, coaching, penalties. Not surprising, coaching getting 71% of the vote.
Sweet the
offense 24, penalties 3, and defense 2. And
I almost feel like some people voted for defense. They're like the people, like, you know, when they call up and they call your house, who are you voting for? Oh, Jill Stein, right? I mean, are you really, or are you just trying to
especially
whatever.
After that game yesterday.
Maybe you are. I don't know. Maybe the 2% of you that are voting for Jill Stein felt like the defense has been the biggest culprit in the first 3 weeks of the season. Almost 400 votes on that. We'll leave it up there if you want to continue to weigh in. I don't think you're going to change the overall leader in terms of responses.
No.
Tyler, before we leave, though, what happened on the road with you this morning, man? I got to know what got you so tweaked and why you're such a scofflaw on the highways of Duval County.
So anyone that works here at 1010 XL knows that a shortcut if you're waiting at a light is to take the service road in front of the Circle K, I think it's now a Kangaroo, here at Hogan and Southside. So I was actually going to go into the gas station. I pulled into a parking spot, I slowed down to maybe about 2 miles an hour, and decided, you know what, this show is so important to me, I need to come in and get some extra prep work in. So I changed my mind and decided to come right in. So I didn't stop into the gas station, but obviously there's cops that are always monitoring people cutting through the gas station to avoid the light. So he thought that's what I did, and I told him, hey, man, I work right here at 1010. I was just going to go inside and get something to eat or a pack of gum, or I don't remember what I told him. That probably sounds terrible.
Right? I don't remember what excuse I made up. But
yeah,
continue.
He didn't believe it, and after he gave me the ticket, I was like, am I not allowed to change my mind if I was going to go into a gas station? Like, you saw me break and go into the parking spot. So he still gave me the ticket, and after he gave it to me, he smiled and walked away like with a huge grin on his face. So, I mean, obviously to him it looks like I was doing that, but if he saw me break and kind of contemplate if I want to stop, that changes things.
I once heard a quote that there's no better way of being correct than technically correct, and in that aspect, that police officer was right.
I believe he was right. Technically correct, or what we call
by the letter of the
correct.
Law, he was correct. Yes,
yes. And since he is an enforcer of the letter of the law,
Pay for our highways with your fun.
That's a tough one. That's a tough one on young Tyler Devitt right there. That's a pretty expensive lesson to learn.
It's a bad way to start the day.
Tapping the brakes, not just enough sometimes, Johnny. You got to come
just
full
go
stop.
Get that soda.
Go full stop. Right, just go
the
in.
The cop was going, the old tap the brakes.
You know what? You can, for less than $2, you could have had 64 ounces of fountain goodness, I'm sure, and would have been a lot cheaper than what you're facing right now. That's Tyler Devitt's day. It started off fantastic. Hope yours gets better as time goes on. I mean, what are you going to do, right? It's up to you to decide what you do in terms of your support of this football team. I hope you all continue to support, but that's an individual decision up to you. Regardless, we're going to be here to chronicle it day after day after day.
And for Tyler, it's how he bounces back from this. It's how he responds.
It's all about adversity and responding.
Right. Tomorrow he'll get that pack of gum. Okay, he's going to come in tomorrow with some Trident like nobody's business. Johnny, what do you got coming up on Jaguars.com?
Covering the Gus Bradley press conference and then doing the Ozone tomorrow and back at it.
All right.
You know, it's like you guys, all you can do is put your head down, answer the questions, and go forward.
I appreciate the people who care enough about this team to tweet, text, even if they think, you know, we're too soft or too hard on the fact that they care, appreciate it. You know what? Try not to take it personally. What are you going to do? Get up, go to work, and
avoid the light.
Avoid the light if you possibly can. Get that pack of gum, people. All right, that's going to do it for us. For Tony, for John, for Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt, the scofflaw that he is. I am Mike Dempsey wrapping things up. Thanks again to Wild West Guns and Gold and all of our great sponsors, and particularly all the listeners and callers and tweeters and texters and everybody giving feedback that makes this show go. Thank you very much. Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.